It was a decision that surprised people. Henry Nouwen was a renowned writer, Catholic priest, and professor. He had a career that most people can only dream about. He held significant teaching positions at Harvard, Yale, and the University of Notre Dame. He's considered one of the most influential spiritual writers of our time. Everything seemed perfect. And yet what people didn't know at the time was this intense inner turmoil and restlessness that was going on deep inside of Nouwen. A life that didn't feel fulfilled, a life that felt discontent and empty. Nouwen began feeling that his busy schedule, his environment of intense competition, his own insatiable drive for success were suffocating his spiritual life. He later described his inward struggle this way. "Aren't you, like me, hoping that some person, thing, or event will come along to give you that final feeling of inner well-being that you desire? Don't you often hope, may this book, idea, course, trip, job, country, or relationship fulfill my deepest desire? But as long as you're waiting for that mysterious moment, you will go on running helter-skelter, always anxious and restless, always lustful and angry, never fully satisfied. You know that this is the compulsiveness that keeps us going and busy, but at the same time makes us wonder whether we are getting anywhere in the long run. This is the way to spiritual exhaustion and burnout. This is the way to spiritual death." And so Henry Nouwen made a decision no one saw coming. He accepted a pastoral position at L'Arche Daybreak, a community just outside Toronto, for people with severe physical and intellectual disabilities. He stayed there for 10 years until his death in 1996. Well, the contrast between both worlds couldn't have been more drastic. Instead of lecturing academic minds, Nouwen now spent much of his time attending to the daily needs of the residents, feeding them, bathing them, providing the care that they needed for the day. The people at L'Arche weren't people who could cognitively understand the absolute brilliance and wisdom of Nouwen. They didn't know he was famous. They didn't know he had taught at some of the most prestigious universities in the world. They had never read his books. They had never listened to his lectures. In fact, most of them couldn't even communicate. And yet somehow in the midst of this surprising and unexpected place, Nouwen would come to find love and joy and peace and contentment. As one of his friends said at L'Arche, Nouwen experienced a deeper sense of belonging and love in this community than he ever did in the hallways of success. At L'Arche, Nouwen began learning and growing into a life of contentment. And while his was certainly a dramatic path to take, that journey and growth into a life of contentment is something that is just as relevant, something that is just as important for our lives today. And so what does living a life of contentment look like? What does it mean in our own lives? That's the question we're going to look at today as we continue in our new series called Ancient Wisdom for Modern Living. In this series, we are beginning to explore different things that we as humans struggle with in our lives, like the search for happiness or dealing with anxiety or loneliness or guilt. And we're going to explore how Jesus and the ancient wisdom that's found in the scriptures can actually help us and guide us in our lives. And today we're going to talk about the search for contentment and how we can find that fulfillment in our own lives. Well, why is this idea of contentment so important? Well, at the risk of being too obvious, we live in a culture that has an insatiable appetite for more. That we need to do more, or we need to get more money, or more titles, or more degrees, or more promotions, or more toys, or more, you can fill in the blank. For many of you, you've made it to UBC, which is an amazing accomplishment. But there are also now pressures and expectations to do more, to accomplish more, to keep adding to that checklist of life. And the reality is it will never be enough. For many of us, maybe we've already reached a certain level of success in our lives, and for a little while, we are happy and content until we're not. And this vacuum of emptiness begins to grow and gnaw inside of us, telling us that it's still not enough, or that there's still more to strive for or achieve. And we realize that we are actually living lives that aren't content. Or maybe we're walking through some big challenges and difficulties in life that have knocked the very breath out of us. We're not sure how we're going to get through it, and so life can feel empty and unsatisfying. We realize that we're living lives that aren't full of content. And so is there any wisdom in the Bible that can help us? I believe that there is, and so I want to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. And from his prison cell, Paul writes these words, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know how to survive in tight situations, and I know how to enjoy having plenty. In fact, I have learned how to face any circumstances, fed or hungry, with or without. I can be content in any and every situation through the Anointed One, who is my power and my strength." Certainly a well-known passage from the Bible. We often hear it quoted by athletes or maybe by graduates, among others, as motivation that with Christ, you can do anything. And yes, it is inspirational and hopeful, but I'm not sure that's entirely all that Paul is referring to here. I think he's asking the question, how can you and I live from a place and a reality of contentment, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, no matter the experiences that we walk through in life, whether that is the peak of success or whether that is a valley of difficulty or anything in between? How can we live a life of contentment? Maybe it's helpful to actually define the word contentment. The root of it means to hold together or to keep intact. It's the idea of someone who feels complete from the inside out, where you don't need external things to bring you inside fulfillment. There's a fascinating research study done by Dr. Daniel Cordero, who is a research scientist and psychologist. He specializes in emotion psychology and human well-being. And in the year 2014, he and his team from the University of California, Berkeley, were traveling to a remote area in the Himalayas of eastern Bhutan to meet with one of the last remote people groups in the world. In fact, it was one of three last uncontacted villages on Earth. The team was at the end of a long 5-year study where they were trying to identify human emotions that run universal across every culture. And they had compiled a long list of potential emotions. They did it in photographic form, showing facial expressions from shame to joy to embarrassment. And it was fascinating that wherever they went, the majority of people, even including this group of nomadic people, were able to recognize a number of these emotions, even though they had had no outside interaction. But there was one emotion that came alive when they conducted their study in the village, and it was the emotion of contentment. One of the guides made the observation that in our culture, this emotion is very special. It is the highest achievement of human well-being. They even had a word for it, chokshe, a deeply spiritual word that means the knowledge of enough. Basically means that right here, right now, everything is perfect as it should be, regardless of what you are experiencing outside. And so contentment asks the question, how whole, how intact do you feel inside? How complete are you as a person? So let's come back to Paul's words. He says, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in." Contentment is a learning, growing process. You don't just decide to be content. I wish it was that easy where you could just flip a giant switch on and instantly your life is content and fulfilled. But it is a learning, growing process, one that is birthed in all sorts of circumstances, the good, the bad, the ugly. Paul says, "I know how to survive in tight situations, and I know how to enjoy having plenty. In fact, I have learned..." There it is again. "I have learned how to face any circumstances, fed or hungry, with or without." And so here, Paul outlines some of the continuum he's been on in life. Times when things were tight, and times when things were full of abundance and plenty. Times when there was this overflowing happening in his life. Times when he had enough to eat. Times when he was hungry. Times when he had resources in hand. Times when he went to the cupboard and it was totally bare. And yet Paul considers all of those times, from the good and difficult and everything in between, to be the incubator where contentment is learned and birthed. Now, when Paul uses this word contentment, he's making a connection to a Greek philosophical idea that was happening in his day called Stoicism. It's an oversimplification, but a big part of Stoicism was this idea that less is more. That the more that you can eliminate and empty from your life, especially when it comes to your own desires, that the more contentment you will experience. Something you try and figure out, you do in your own strength and ability to get there. But Paul is going to show that you can't achieve contentment on your own. It can only be found in a relationship. Relationship that's going to be centered in Jesus. And so there's this less is more idea happening. But even more so, I would argue in our own time and place, we try to live with a more is better approach. I asked this earlier, but how much is enough? When will we feel satisfied and fulfilled? The problem with more is better as an approach is how long does that contentment actually last? Because as soon as you get more of something and that feeling and that hit of dopamine hits, you end up needing another hit somewhere along the line. More money, more power, more stuff, more validation, more success, more learning, more degrees, more promotions. It doesn't end. It doesn't bring this lasting inside wholeness and fulfillment. And I'll be honest, I know that feeling and drive all too well because, and I've shared this before, my life has often been defined about success and achievement, where life has really revolved around this more is better idea. And it's been, quite honestly, an ongoing tension in reality in my own life. I'll often live from a place of, well, what's next? Okay, I've done that. Now, what can I move on to? What else can I do? What's the next thing to accomplish? And it becomes this insatiable drive and need for success and doing more. There's nothing inherently wrong with success or achievement. I'm not saying we shouldn't do new things or try new things, because life is a journey and we're called to keep moving forward in life and to keep experiencing new chapters. But when we are living from a place where we're not allowing ourselves to lean into and to grow into this life of contentment, then it's not a good thing. And that's why there's a third approach here, where it isn't less is more, and it's not more is better, but as Paul says, enough is enough. Contentment is a realization that we are complete and whole just as we are, no matter the circumstances, no matter the achievements, no matter the failures that we all are going to experience in our lives. And that's really the point Paul's making here. For Paul, enough is enough. Why? Because contentment doesn't come from a what. It doesn't come from an achievement, and it doesn't come from a failure or a circumstance. It is found in a who, in a relationship. Paul knew the ups and downs of life. He knew the joys and the pains of life, but he had also learned how to find meaning and purpose in it. Paul says, I can walk through life no matter what's thrown at me because of Jesus. It's not about the circumstances or the situations that come along. It's about who is inside of me. It's about Jesus, the one who gives me strength from the inside out. He says, I can be content in any and every situation through the one who is my power and strength. And so what does that mean? How can we learn and grow in contentment as we face life with all of its challenges and opportunities and everything in between? I want to do a visual illustration here. They don't know I'm going to ask them. I'm going to call Gaurav and Rachel to just come up quickly. It's all right. It's totally. I did not ask you guys beforehand, but you guys are good. All right. this is Rachel, but for today, this is Jesus. All right. And Gaurav is circumstances. And that can be both good and bad. I know, it's not as good, but... So, yeah, Jesus, maybe move over that way. And we've got circumstances here. Well, this is how we often live our lives. And I'll be honest, this is how I often live my life, where I come face-to-face with the situation. Right? You got it. And whether it's good or bad, so let's just kind of take maybe a harder example. All of a sudden, that I've got circumstances facing me, staring me down, and it feels overwhelming. You're a lot bigger than me, so this works out great. And I could feel overwhelmed. I could feel, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And every once in a while, it's like, oh, yeah, Jesus is just out there. So, hey, Jesus. And I'll be like, I'm trying to get through my circumstances. I'm holding this, and it's like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but Jesus, somehow, if you can help me, that would be great. But I know you're kind of in the background, but I'm going to kind of power my way through. I know I'm not the only one that does this. Or maybe it's a good circumstance. We've got happy circumstance. I'm trying to figure out some stuff, and you know, I'm trying to do it myself, and it's looking pretty good. And it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot Jesus was back there. And yeah, hey, Jesus, thanks for helping me out. You know, I'll get to you in just a little bit. Circumstances kind of takes this central point that's here. Here's the thing. How often do we allow ourselves and our situations to come between us and Jesus? And what I believe Paul's saying here is that in order to live a life of contentment through the good times and the hard times, we need a shift to take place, a change of perspectives, where it's not about me facing my circumstances, but it's saying, how else am I going to live with not with Jesus hanging out in the background? And so we're going to shift, and Jesus can come. See, it's about living from a place of Jesus-centeredness, where everything else, every circumstance, every decision, every opportunity, every achievement, every failure, every pain, every heartache is seen as coming through Jesus. It's not that circumstances disappear. They're still there, but it is lived out through him. That's why Paul says, I can do anything through Christ, who gives me strength. It's not my own strength or wisdom or ability. I can only do it through him. It's not that we don't face circumstances, that we don't face challenges in life, but when Jesus is at the center, it changes how I approach my life and circumstances in a new way. Flip again. See, it's not me facing my circumstances, hoping that somehow Jesus will remember, or somehow thinking, well, maybe Jesus will come alongside. Or maybe somehow Jesus will show up when I need it or get me through it. We'll do one last flip. It's about allowing my life to be centered in Jesus, being able to look and live my life through him and knowing he's going to walk with me through that circumstance. Right? Seems simple that's there, but what a shift of perspective that now with Jesus walking beside me, we can approach that circumstance and we can get through it. All right, you guys did awesome. Thank you so much. It's this reminder of a God who is with us, a God who walks with us through the circumstances, that we don't have to face it alone. When he is at the center, it allows us to experience a wholeness and a contentment on the inside that can never happen otherwise. I want to wrap up this message by quickly sharing just a few things I'm learning in this journey when it comes to contentment. And I hope that you will find it helpful as well. And for the record, I don't have this figured out. So I'm not standing up here saying, yes, I've totally lived this. But it is something I'm growing in, I'm learning in, because I still so often find myself approaching it as circumstances first, as situation first, before Jesus. But here's a few ways. The first is living from a place of love. I began this message by sharing a little bit of Henry Nouwen's story. A few months before he died, Nouwen was asked the question, what is the key to the spiritual life? And Nouwen put his hands on his chest and he said, quite simply, live from the center. Live from the center. What he meant was live from that place of God's absolute deep love for you, because that is where fulfillment and contentment comes from. Throughout his life, Henry Nouwen felt that there were two voices continually competing inside of him. The first one kept telling him to succeed and achieve. And for him, that became a driving force. While the other kept telling him and reminding him that you can rest in the comfort and the reality that you are a beloved child of God. And in the last years of his life, Naaman learned to listen to that second voice, and it led him to living and experiencing a life of peace and contentment. Almost sounds too simple. And yet, that is its beauty and mystery, that life and contentment in life is found and rooted in God's love. Well, how am I personally learning this? One significant way is just taking some intentional time to think about and reflect on God's love for my life. I'll take something like these words from the Apostle Paul to come and to fill every crack and hole in my heart. He prays these words, I pray that from God's glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit, so that your roots will grow down and deep into God's love and keep you strong. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Take some words like that, take some verses like that, and just keep reading them over. Speak them over your life. Let them go down deep into you. Living a life of contentment means learning to live from a place of God's love. Second way we can learn a life of contentment is by simply being present. It's been said, your present circumstances don't determine where you can go. They merely determine where you start. In his book, 10% Happier, Dan Harris says it like this. Make the present moment your friend rather than your enemy. Because many people live habitually as if the present moment were an obstacle that they need to overcome in order to get to the next moment. And imagine living your whole life like that, where always this moment is never quite right, not good enough, because you need to get to the next moment. That is continuous stress. Believe me, that is so true. Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever situation I'm walking through right now because it is about being present and aware of what is happening in this moment. And so I'm finding in my own life that when my mind starts to pull me in different directions in uncertainty or anxiety or fears of the unknown, or I feel like those circumstances and situations are staring me right in the face, that I can intentionally pause in this moment and allow that switch to take place so that my mind and heart is recentered, reoriented to the person of Jesus. And again, maybe it sounds too simple. Sometimes it will literally mean heading out the door, going for a walk, and then speaking and praying these words over and over again. Jesus, I know you're here. You're not just in the background. You are here right in front of me, with me. I know you're in this moment. I know you're in this experience, this situation, this decision, even if I don't feel it right now. But let me come awake to your presence that is here with me in this space, in this time. And finally, a third way we can begin experiencing a life of contentment is to practice gratitude. There is always something to be thankful for. Even in the midst of whatever situation you are walking through right now. For myself, these days, it's leaning into that enough reality. Trying to live with the new sense of gratitude and contentment. To live from the center. To reflect on Jesus' love, his deep love for me in this moment. To pause and to realize that life, breath, is a very gift from him, something to be savored and experienced. And that no matter the situations I'm facing, no matter the situations you are facing, whether good or difficult, to remember that Jesus is right here with us, that he is holding us and walking with us through our situations, through our circumstances, through our experiences, step by step. Every situation and circumstance. And that is enough. Would you pray with me? Jesus, in this moment we come to you. You know every life, every situation, every circumstance that is here in this building right now. Some of them are incredible opportunities and decisions and experiences that we are celebrating. Others of them are so deeply gutting and painful and lonely and difficult. And the rest are somewhere in between. And yet I pray, Jesus, for every single person here today, that we would come awake to your presence, to your love, that we would come awake to that reality that you are present right here with us. And for those many, many times in our lives where we allow circumstances to stare us down, to feel overwhelming, to feel perhaps too powerful, or to feel like they are an obstacle, and we can look and see you far in the background and say, why aren't you here? May you allow us to experience that shift to take place of beginning to live lives of Jesus-centeredness, building that relationship with you, no matter what it is that we're going through, because we know that when you are with us, when you are walking with us, we can walk through every situation and circumstance. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it won't be without tears. Doesn't mean it's not going to be without struggle. But we know that with you walking beside us, we can live lives that, strange as it might sound, can be full of contentment and love. And so I pray for every person here today, including myself, that we would begin learning and growing into living lives of contentment. May we reorient our lives to you, Jesus, in this moment, in this space. We pray this in your name. Amen.